Thank you, Ms. Burt. What a blessing. Amen. I'm glad there is a secret place that we can meet with our Savior. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to the book of John, John 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to preach for you this morning. Just been around marriages, a lot of weddings. Been doing a lot of marriage counseling. Going to have another wedding for two of our students, one that's in staff now graduating. Michaela and Harris are going to be getting married in just a couple weeks here as we're up north there. And I'll be preaching our camp meeting for my home church up there. And then they get married at the end of that week. And I got married that same week. So again, I know how busy that week is at my home church, but they're going to get married up there. And so what a blessing it is just to see these young people doing what God has said. You know, we live in a day and age and a world today that says it's okay to shack up and live together. And I don't find that in the book. I don't think God ever said that. Amen. I believe that marriage is between a woman and a man. You know, even the ones that do want to get married, it ain't the right kind. It ain't the way God made it, ordained it. And so again, today I just want to preach to you. As a church, sometimes we forget that we're the bride. Amen. And think about all that the Lord has done for his bride. All that he's still doing for his bride and what he will do for his bride. Amen. And so today I want to just preach a message on marrying way up. Now, I've been married way up a long time ago. Amen. And every one of you that have ever met my wife and you know her, you know I'm married way up. Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Brother Richard knows. Amen. And she'll get him for that later. Anyway, so, but I just know for all of us, most of us ought to feel that way. And for those of us, I can just tell you for me, I'm just an old country boy. And when she got me, she didn't get much. But she's been working on me. And so has the Lord. Amen. And a lot of times we miss the fact that God is just so good to us that, you know, he didn't just purchase us back into himself, but there's a marriage waiting for us. When we think about heaven, oftentimes our mind is set upon a reunion of us and Jesus Christ so we can go on down the street to our hotel, motel, or mansion, whatever you want to think about. The Bible specifically here in chapter 14 calls it a mansion. And if Jesus has been preparing a place for you all this time, I think I'd call it a mansion. Anything Jesus is building and preparing, and again, we don't always think about it that way, but I just got through a wedding. Now, I'm just going to tell you, it comes down a lot faster than it goes up. You know, I mean, all of you that made your way out to camp don't look like that normally. It ain't got all those, and there's a reason we don't put all that foo-foo stuff up at camp, amen? But I mean, when the bride wants it all to look right and all dressed out, can you imagine what heaven's going to be? Because we don't always think about it this way. But today, before we pray and read the scripture, I want you to think about everything Jesus says and these upcoming verses that we're building to a marriage. That when he said, let not your heart be troubled, he was talking, it was a promise of an engagement that there would be a wedding day. And when we reach heaven's shores, it ain't just getting home to enter into rest. It's to enter into a marriage covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. That'll never end. And we often forget that sometimes all those people that think they can lose their salvation, people don't just lose their spouse. You got married. You knew it happened to you. Amen. Amen. So this morning, if you'll think about the verses that we read from the aspect of marriage, from the perspective of, I mean, marrying way, way up. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your people and those that are faithfully here today. Lord, I know there's so many others that are off for weddings and things of that nature. Thank you for the bus workers that ran their buses today and that were faithful today. Thank you for the riders that were faithful, Lord. Thank you for God's people that were faithful today to you. But Lord, help us to realize that you've been faithful and that you are faithfully coming again to receive us unto yourself, to make us your bride, Lord. I thank you for all the things, the pictures, and just the simple wedding ceremony that we have down here that await us in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you're here and you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you ought not let your heart get troubled. You know, most of us, we face trouble on a daily basis, do we not? We find all kinds of trouble. If you drive a car, it'll break down. Amen. Those things are not eternal. The tires that run up down the road, all it takes is somebody that was putting something together for a screw to roll out of their truck and hit the road, and then your tire pick it up on the way by. And it may not blow out, but when you get home and you go to sleep and you wake up and the tire that had air in it in the morning and when you went to bed doesn't have it the next day. Amen? And you say, that had to be the devil. It could have been, but he's not omnipotent. He ain't everywhere. That was just somebody that didn't put the screws back in the box, and it rolled out the tailgate, and it got on the road, and it got in your tire. That's just trouble. That's natural every day. Now, the devil, he tries to give us some tribulation. But every one of us are going to face trouble because we live in a sin-cursed world, one that sin is all around us, and people just forget to put the screws back in the box. People don't always use their signal. People around here don't never use their signal. Amen. Welcome to Central Florida. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes when we face trouble and the things that go on in this daily world, the Lord says in chapter 14, he's talking to his disciples. He's preparing to leave them, and he's trying to tell them, this is his church. It's a church he's about to purchase with his own blood and buy to himself in an engagement. He's promising them here, I'm going to leave you with something, and I'm coming back for you. He tries to lay out a foundation. Now, our wedding is not always, in our engagement, isn't always a good picture of everything that happens in the Jewish wedding and the Jews. But they would, back in the day here, they would get that promise, and they would get, I mean, almost everything was settled, I mean, but the ceremony. They were locked down, and they were married in everybody's eyes. And then we always think we save. You know these people that just hang on and hang on and they don't ever get married? They're waiting to get prepared to be married. Can I just share with you? You ain't never going to be ready to be married. You can't get ready. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, the ones that'll say, I'm going to save until I'm ready to have a baby. Are you kidding me? All right, I'm just going to tell you, I just got rid of one and it just seems like he went out of diapers. And I've been paying from that day every day, and I never did save enough. Amen. Amen. And I got more to go. For all of us, hit the reality of this, that he ordained something for us to be a part of. A union to come together and to be a part of. Now, I'm not against saving. And I'm not against being ready. But in the Bible days, they'd make a promise with each other. And then the man would say, I'm going to go build us a house. I'm going to make a place for us. He'd make a promise, and then once he knew that he had a bride, he knew he had one that was going to leave with him to the place that he built for that bride, then he would go off and prepare the place. And with that in mind, and that engagement that's happening there, Jesus began the work of his church. He built his church up, and then he purchased his church. But this is what he tells the church right before he dies and is risen again. In verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, there were 12 different brides there, okay? One of them was Thomas. It was a doubting bride. But I just want to tell you this morning, number one, let not your heart be troubled. Can I just tell you what doubt would fall under? Letting your heart be troubled. You know, if you're not careful this morning as a Christian, and you've been a Christian a long time in your life, what you fear is if you're not careful, you'll let yourself wonder, is what I've been preached to all these years be true? Is Jesus really coming again? I've lived my whole life. Listen, can I tell you, the Apostle Paul believed Jesus was coming again, and he didn't falter. He didn't doubt. He held faithful. Hey, it wasn't just Paul, Timothy. We could go down the list of folks that we see in the scripture, and the one that wrote the book, John the Revelator, amen? We call him John the Revelator. He was just a writer. He was the penman. Jesus was the revelator. John come down, and I mean, listen, if anybody got even more excited, he was on the Isle of Patmos, kind of trapped where he was, looking for escape, looking for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus showed up, but he said, I want you to write something down. I told him, I made a promise, but I want you to lay out the entire plan, the entire future for the church and what we're going to do and how it's going to go, so that they can be sure, so that their heart isn't troubled. Because I'm just going to tell you, folks, do you know there's a ton of people that are troubled? This book is something that should empower, encourage us, and I mean, help us to realize that we ought to be about our Father's business. We ought to be about Jesus's business as His church, trying to grow His church, keeping purifying His church. I don't know about you this morning, but let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of troubled Christians. They're troubled about their country and its economy. And I'm not saying that you ought not be prepared to vote, but I'm just going to tell you today, folks, we're leaving this place behind when Jesus comes. All the liberals, and Nancy Pelosi can have it, because I'm going to heaven. You say, what about Joe Biden? I still don't want him to have it. You say, you're naming names this morning. Amen. If you got a backbone, you ought to name names. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you that Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, no matter how bad it gets down here, we got something to look forward to. And just like Jesus said it, He's still preparing a place for you, and He will come again and receive you unto Himself. But there's still some of us here this morning that be like Thomas. There's some of us maybe that are here that you've been saved a long time, but you haven't got grounded to realize there's a book of Revelation that continues what Jesus already said. Because Thomas says, he says, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Do you know it's amazing to me how many Christians know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, they've trusted in Jesus Christ, but they have no idea what eternity holds for them. They've not taken the Word of God and studied it for themselves. They've never listened good enough in church when Pastor Carter teaches it in Sunday school and deals with all what they call eschatology or future events. You know that God laid down in His Word everything that's going to happen hereafter. And all we're doing is waiting on the precipice of the return of Jesus Christ and awaiting Him. The Bible even told us throughout the New Testament that we ought to be awaiting and looking for His return. The Bible even says there's a crown for the Christian that's looking for His return, looking for His appearing. But I just say, number one today, listen, if you're troubled, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe the same way. Listen, there's you in here today with unshakable faith. Believe that there is a Father God who created everything on heaven and earth. Have that same unshakable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in His return. That's what He's saying to His church. He's saying, listen, there, you wouldn't doubt for one instant that this whole world and all of creation didn't happen by mistake. It didn't happen by accident. Everything has order. Everything has timing. Everything has its place and its purpose. Can I tell you this, church? Jesus laid out His church just like He created this world. Everything will happen right on time. Everything will come to pass just like He said it would. And it will come to pass right when He wants it to, as it's laid out in Scripture. We should not doubt His word. But there are those, if we're not careful, we'll come to the place where we let trouble get us. And like Thomas, we'll say, we don't know where you go. And we don't know the way. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're like that, if you're a Christian, you ought to know who the way is. Jesus explained it to Thomas. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are a lot of people that teach all kinds of things that believe in God, but they don't believe that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, and that Jesus is the life. I believe I stand in a building full, and the majority of you today would believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That His death, burial, your faith put in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection is the only way that a person will make it to heaven. It's not about works. It's not about baptism. It's not about the Holy Eucharist or anything else that somebody could come up with to get them to heaven. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And so if Jesus is your way and you've already trusted, then Jesus ought to be your truth. And everything that came from his mouth that was recorded in Scripture, just like, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, if he said he's going to go away and prepare a place for you and doubtless come again, he will come again and receive you unto himself. That's truth, my friend. That is truth. And listen, I just want you to understand this, and this isn't the whole message, but you ought to take it to heart. Then that means the only life that is truly worth living is the Christian life. That means to live and be preparing for Jesus Christ and his return. I want you to turn in the scripture with me. So number one, as far as my first point, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled today. Realize that Jesus is on his way just like he said he was. I want you to see number two in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 with me. Jesus not only says, let not your heart be troubled, but in chapter 12 of the book of Luke, he's saying some of the things that we've seen in Matthew. In Matthew, he says some things there in giving some of those beatitudes, and he's talking about laying your treasure up in heaven because we're heading there. Amen. If you're a Christian, in chapter 12, he's using a parallel passage. Luke is a doctor and writes a lot about everything in detail. And so here in chapter 12, almost exactly like Matthew chapter 5, he's going to say some things. And I don't want to take all the time, but realize just previous to this, he's talked about laying up treasure in heaven. He has just talked about saying that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One of the things I really fear about the Christian life and the Christians of our day is that they are doubting like Thomas, therefore they do not lay up treasure in heaven. I don't believe that about our church. I believe that you're encouraged, and boy, we've been putting money together to try to send our young people and some of our church members out to New Mexico because we want to see treasure. You know, money don't equal treasure. Money given to the things of God and souls are what's going to measure. That's what treasure is in heaven. It'll be every soul that accepts Jesus Christ. The witnessing and the buses that have been run and the pursuit of people realizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what treasure is. And so then he says in verse 35, look at verse 35 of chapter 12, he says, let your loins be girded, look at this, about. Do you know what that means? Be dressed. Do you know what most people do when they get sleepy and they don't think that they ought to be? If you're expecting company, then you ought to be dressed. When they catch you unaware is when they catch you in your nightgown. Or whatever else it is that you wear. Amen. And you don't need to raise your hand and tell me this morning. But the Bible says, let your loins be girded about. Listen, if I knew somebody was coming and coming back for me, listen, I wouldn't be dressed. If I'm thinking as a bride and I knew the husbandman is coming, I'm not just going to be dressed in any dress. Did you notice that when that young lady walked down the aisle, she wasn't just wearing anything that she had ever worn before? There was something that she had set apart and was prepared only for her husband. Do you know the church? We ought to be waiting for Jesus, and there ought to be things in our lives that we've set apart and prepared only for him. And we ought to always, every moment of the day, have it ready for him. You know, the Bible says when Jesus returns, he said, will I find faith on the earth? When he's talking about faith, for us, we ought to realize that faith is the victory. The opposite is doubt. Am I going to find my people living in victory? Dressed to the hilt, ready for Jesus' return. Not being taken by surprise, but waiting and ready for his return. You say, well, how would I do that? Then how do you act on a daily basis? Are you only ready for him on Sundays? Would he catch you unaware the rest of the week because the rest of the week I give to everything else and I don't really live like I'm in the faith? I don't really act like I'm in the faith. I don't really give any thought to Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I just live this life. But I live the Christian life on Sunday. Folks, I'm just telling you, every day, centered around the mornings, thinking about he could come today. Getting inside his word, saying, boy, I can't, this marriage relationship, you know what those two young people that got married this week, you know what they've done day in and day out? She was 2.5 hours south of him, and they were there. Even though they weren't together, and they were making preparations, they got on the phone each day. I would go in there and laugh at them because they didn't just get on the phone. They did whatever that FaceTime business is. And they just get on the phone, and both of them were doing their things, working and doing stuff, but they were just talking. And then somebody would say something, and I'd say, "Hey, oh, you're talking to Hannah." And then he'd lift the phone up, and Hannah, you know, wasn't in the screen, and then she'd come on, and she'd go, "Hey." Engaged. But they got in tune and got on the phone line with each other, and they didn't hang up. Do you know that ought to be a good picture of the Christian in Jesus Christ every morning? Getting in the Word of God, and it tells us to meditate on it all day long. Get the Word in our heart and be on the phone with Him. And listen, all day long, teach me thy ways, Lord. Lord, help me today to grow closer to you. Being thoughtful and evident that He is real and that He is really coming back any moment for us. Wouldn't it be great to get a truth from the Word of God and carry it all day long? Realizing that that is the truth, and we don't think about it this way, but every day when I get a little bit of truth and I carry it with me, I'm carrying the one that I will one day be married to in heaven. I'm carrying truth, and that is one. Listen, He's not just the way. He is the truth. When I meditate upon the truth, I'm meditating upon the one I love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I live my life that way. Hey, folks, He says here, let your loins be girded. So just let not the doubts, the things, the fears that come from, but how about being ready? Let yourself be ready. I put this down because he finishes the verse, and your light's burning. I put down, let your light be shining until he comes. You know, in the little kids and little groups, we put that song out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hey, wouldn't it be great if every day we got that in our hearts and carrying the truth and everybody saw us going everywhere? And listen, I don't know about you, but it's hard. It's hard for me to be upset or be out of bounds. Amen. Be troubled. When I'm walking around going, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. Listen, even when I'm having a bad day, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan. Hide it under a bushel. No. How about when you're out with all the, you know that the people around you don't know about Jesus. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh. Hey. I don't know about you today, but I'm just going to tell you, I wrote down in here, as a Christian, I'm not only going to be dressed and ready, but you know, when I'm dressed and ready for the return of Jesus Christ, I'm letting my light shine. When my answer to every man, when I have an answer and ready to give an answer unto every man of the hope that lies within me, they see the light that's within me as hope. People walk around this world hopeless. They're troubled because they don't have the Savior Jesus Christ inside of them. And when they see the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes it's you. Because that day, your little light was shining. And in this dark world, all it takes is just a tiny little bit of light for people to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let your loins be girt about. Do you know when the Bible talks about the armor of God? It's the first thing it talks about is girding up your loins, being ready for the battle. Wouldn't it be a shame that, well, if you're not careful, you're out there with the light and you didn't gird yourself up for the battle? You know, you realize, listen, we talk about it as a wedding garment, but really the wedding garment is, it said that, put on the whole armor of God. For those of us, listen, we have that white robe that the the bride comes down the aisle and we think about that is, listen, that's something we get on the other side. That's something right here. We're in the nasty now and now. And instead of the white robes of walking down the aisle, that's what happens when we get home to heaven. What we do every day is we gird about our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and hold up the shield of faith, because this side of heaven, it's still a battle. This side of heaven, I'm still trying to win people to Jesus Christ. One day, all that will be saved or have been saved will go to heaven with the Lord. Listen, I'm just going to tell you this morning, when we step across, boy, the Bible, even in Revelation chapter 19, is going to tell us that he's going to give them robes of white. He's going to give us that dress to put on. But down here, I'm going to prepare with the armor that God gave me. It's the whole armor of God. And then I'm going to let my light so shine before men. Matthew chapter 5. He says, let your light so shine before men. It's almost the same exact passage of Scripture. But here he says, he's speaking of it in marriage term. He says, and your light's burning. Look at what it says in verse 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Be ready. There's a wedding coming. Jesus is coming back for his bride. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19 today. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 19. You know, after they got married, there was a supper. They had a taco spread. Amen. Amen. It was kind of like Burger King. You could have it how you wanted it in there. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I get to heaven, I know it's going to be fried chicken. Ain't no taco bar up there. Amen. Amen. But listen, whatever it is, I know there'll be something for you up there too if it's tacos. And there'll be something to taco about when we get up there, right? But he begins, and when he talks about this, he says this. And so if you didn't get the second point, let your light be shining when Jesus comes. And thirdly, I want to say this. Look at the verse. He says, let us be glad and rejoice. In verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Folks, if you didn't believe it was true, God just wanted to remind you again, these are something that God laid out. It's something that is echoed as a revelation of Jesus Christ to us today to tell us about future events. One day we're going to get caught up, raptured out, called out. He's going to say, come up hither, that we see in Revelation chapter number 4. And the bride of Jesus Christ, his church, is going to take off for heavenly venues. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to stop by the judgment seat of Christ. And once we cross on over into heaven, there's going to be some robes of white broken out for us. The marriage is going to be again. And if you read down through the passage, you realize that he's going to set us down and gird himself and feed us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that day. I want to tell you, I'm not going to let myself be troubled with all the things of this world, because this is something I'm going to leave behind one day. If we're not careful, we'll think about it like we're not married. We'll think about it like we don't have a certain somebody like Jesus coming back for us. And we'll focus on all the problems of this life like we don't have a life coming ahead of us. Like he isn't our life, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you made your way in here this morning and you don't know him, then all you know is trouble. All you know is pain. All you know is this life and not the next that is found in Jesus Christ. And I beg you this morning to take Jesus as your way, as the truth and the life, because he is. And he said that not to let our heart be troubled, because he's going to take us away from this place. If he went away, he's coming again to receive us unto himself. But how about this, Christian? If you are saved and you do know the way, how's your light? When was the last time you trimmed it up and made sure it was ready? When was the last time you really thought about, when was the last time your armor was dusted off? Let your loins be girt about with truth. Do you know how you gird on truth? Every day you get in there. Every time, every day you're in the book, girding your loins, your body, your whole life with truth. And then you let your light so shine. This little light of mine. When was the last time, and I've often asked it, when was the last time that you opened the Word of God and you got a truth so powerful that you had to share it? When was the last time that you got in the book and you couldn't help but shine for the rest of the day because of the promise that you found in the Word of God, that Jesus was coming again, that He was real and that He was the life? You couldn't help not just be a witness, but tell somebody else about the light that's inside of you. Hey, folks, there's coming a day when that light will be pulled out of the earth. And for those of you that don't know Jesus, right now you walked into a place maybe because you saw somebody's light. Maybe somebody invited you to ride the bus with them and you came in and you said, I see a little bit of light. Wouldn't you want that light for yourself? Wouldn't you want to get saved today and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive the light in this old dark world? Hey, Christian, wouldn't you want to be the light that you used to be for Jesus Christ? There's going to come a day that all the things that we've lived, how we gird our loins and how we trimmed our lamps and kept our light burning on a daily basis, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be about my sin. It's going to be about my opportunity on a daily basis to be ready for His return. Whether I was looking for His appearing or whether I was just living this life and living it like I wasn't saved and that there was no life to come and that I wasn't ready for His return. When I put it all in perspective, it reminded me again, do you know I've spent so much time over the last few weeks and I wasn't even the one getting married, getting ready for a wedding. Do you know how many angels in heaven today are making ready for our coming into heaven? And they're hanging all the beautiful things of heaven and they're setting things in place and they're making it just like it is. And Jesus is saying, no, I didn't want it there. I want it over here and I want it set like this. And it's got to be perfect because they're coming. I'm going to go back and get them and my bride is coming with me and we're going to show up and everything's got to be just like it ought to be. There's cherubims and seraphims that are standing around the throne of God and praising Him and going, whoo. Boy, this is going to be some kind of wedding. I don't know what kind of cooks there are in heaven, but they're getting ready. And I know they're frying the chicken. I don't know what kind of builders are helping Jesus with all the different preparations of the mansion, but they're making ready. Let me ask you this. If everything in heaven is making ready for you, are you making ready for them? Are you making ready for the day that you'll see Jesus face to face? You know, this summer, it's real easy, if we're not careful, to put it into neutral, to stop serving Him every day. And we focus on the heat, or we focus on the election that's upcoming, and we focus on all those things. And some of those things need our focus, but not our total focus. We need to wake up on a daily basis and put Him first. And realize how good it would be if He came before this election. How good it would be if He came before the heat of the day. And waking up. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, every day when I wake up and put both my feet on the ground, I know that there's a day of work ahead of me for the cause of Christ. But when I place them on the floor, I say, Lord, you know, it'd be so good if you'd take me from here. I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to gird about myself and be ready for you. I'm going to clean the wick on my candle and light it again for a world to see you through me. But it'd be so good if I could just walk into your presence. It'd be so good if I could just come into the heavenly gates and see you face to face. I've longed for it. I'm looking for your appearing. Folks, wouldn't it be great if as a Christian, as a church, that we'd wake up and put our feet on the ground every day and say, Lord, I'm looking for your appearing. I believe there's no doubt in me that you're coming again. Would you come quickly, Lord Jesus? Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't have your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, today the invitation is to you. I invite you to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and know that heaven will be your home, that you'll be a part of that bride that we talked about, and that you're going to enter in and be a part of that and daily can be ready for his return. If you're a Christian here today, the invitation is to you. Maybe a little bit of doubt is creeping into your mind and your heart. I encourage you to renew those things. Be revived this morning with the Word of God in your heart and be ready and say, God, I'm going to be looking for you. You talk to him today and tell him. You do what God has asked you to do. I'm going to pray as we stand. You stand to our feet and be ready. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray for the invitation. I know that, Lord, that a lot of our folks are gone and people, but there are folks here today, Lord, that might need to be saved. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would draw them, that they might accept Jesus as their Savior. I pray for our people, Lord, that they wouldn't put off till tomorrow what they ought to do today. Help them to rekindle that flame in their lives with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as Brother Burt sings.